Let's continue reading verses 11 through 24 of Galatians chapter 1. Now, in the second half of the chapter, Paul defends his apostolic authority in view of the false teachers. Galatians chapter 1, beginning now at verse 11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. Once again, let's consider some background notes. Here in the Epistle of Galatians, we learn some details of the Apostle Paul's early days as a Christian. These additional facts add to the record that we have in the book of Acts of Paul's conversion and early ministry. Turn back to Acts chapter 9, where we have the conversion of Saul, who became the great Apostle Paul. After the disciple at Damascus named Ananias came at the Lord's direction and laid his hands on Saul, we read in verse 18 and following, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Acts chapter 9, verses 18 through 22. Most likely, the events of Paul's early Christian life that we are reading about in Galatians chapter 1 fit between verses 21 and 22 of Acts chapter 9. Acts 9:21, once again, then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? Now come the events of Galatians 1:17 through 24, which we just read about, which include a brief visit to Jerusalem and then a return to Damascus. And now Acts 9:22. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. So we see that the Apostle Paul was involved in quite a bit of ministry even before his first missionary journey. Tarsus, by the way, where Saul was from, was in the region of Cilicia that we read of here in Galatians 1:21. So Saul of Tarsus went back home and shared the gospel, as we should do when we're saved. Now, the reason that Paul is relating these details concerning his conversion and early Christian life is to emphasize that the gospel, or good news that he is proclaiming as an apostle, came directly from the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The Judaizers, who were distorting the pure gospel of Jesus Christ by adding works, were trying to undermine Paul's authority as an apostle. So here Paul defends both his authority as an apostle and the gospel he preaches. Both came directly from the Lord himself. Let's move now to our doctrinal points. So doctrinal or teaching point number one. The gospel of Jesus Christ was not invented by man. The gospel of Jesus Christ was not invented by man. Verses 11 and 12 once again. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul did not make up the gospel. Although Peter and the other apostles were preaching the same gospel, the Apostle Paul did not receive it from them. Paul received the gospel of Jesus Christ independently by revelation from the Lord himself. You understand the concept of revelation, right? Revelation is direct communication of divine truth from God. The Apostle Paul did not invent the gospel. So to say that we are studying Pauline theology when we study Galatians can be misleading. The gospel was communicated by revelation from the Lord himself. The gospel is supernatural in its origin and power. The gospel of Jesus Christ certainly does not have the characteristics of a man-made religion, does it? Man-made religions always have high standards, but not so high that people can't attain salvation if they work real hard. Look at all the religions in the world today. They are all human works oriented except biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is uniquely different. The gospel or good news of Jesus Christ is that man does nothing for salvation. God does everything because the standards are too high for man to do anything. Man cannot attain perfection. So salvation is a gift. We just receive it by faith. Now that does not sound like it was made up by man, does it? The gospel of Jesus Christ was not invented by man. Doctrinal point number two. The life of a believer is not programmed by man. The life of a believer is not programmed by man. From verse 13 on to the end of the chapter, Paul gives several logical reasons why his readers should believe him and not the false teachers or Judaizers who were trying to undermine his apostolic authority and distort the gospel that he preached. In verses 13 and 14, Paul is saying that it's obvious that he didn't make up the gospel because it was certainly contrary to his former manner of life. Rabbi Saul was certainly totally works-oriented in the past. In verses 15 through 17, Paul's argument is that he could not have learned the gospel from the other apostles or anyone else, because Damascus was not near any of the apostles, and he did not consult with anyone. He went to Arabia by himself. In verses 18 through 24, Paul emphasizes that when he finally did go up to Jerusalem, after 3 years, it was only for 2 weeks, 15 days, and then he only met briefly with Peter and James to get acquainted, not to receive the gospel from them. All the rest of his time, since his conversion, he was out doing missionary work and was essentially unknown in Jerusalem and Judea. The churches there were not dictating to Paul what gospel he should preach. All they knew was that the former Saul, who persecuted Christians, was now Paul the Christian, and he was now leading others to Christ. And in this they rejoiced. Now, how does all that fit into our doctrinal point? The life of a believer is not programmed by man. Well, look back at verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And then Paul proceeds with his argument of how the Lord led him step by step. Notice how Paul indicates that his life was programmed by God himself, including his birth, his conversion, and his ministry. You remember the prophet Jeremiah said essentially the same thing in reference to his call to the ministry. I'm reading Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5. You know, we too can say the same thing as believers. Our birth, our conversion, our area of service or ministry may appear to be determined by man, but God is ultimately in control. God does have a plan for our lives. The life of a believer is not programmed by man. Practical application. Have you had both a Damascus Road and an Arabian retreat experience? Have you had both a Damascus Road and an Arabian retreat experience? The Apostle Paul was dramatically converted on the Damascus Road. He was religious before his conversion, but he was not saved. Now he was saved, and he had a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a relationship with the Lord, or are you just religious? You got to have a Damascus Road experience. You've heard the gospel this morning, that Jesus died for your sins and thus provided a way of salvation for you from eternal death to eternal life with the Lord in heaven. All you have to do is believe the gospel by faith and receive the Lord as your Savior in order to become a true Christian. Have you had your Damascus Road experience? After Paul's conversion, he went to Arabia for a retreat. Where in Arabia Paul went, we don't know for sure. If you look at your Bible maps, you'll see that Paul could have crossed the border into Arabia within 50 miles of Damascus. In any case, Paul spent some time alone with the Lord, getting his theology straightened out, studying the scriptures, and looking for the Lord's guidance. You know, believers need an Arabian retreat experience. Maybe more than one. Moses spent time alone with the Lord in the land of Midian before the Lord used him to lead his people out of Egypt. David spent time alone with the Lord as a shepherd boy before the Lord raised him up and used him to fight Goliath and then become the king over God's people Israel. We all need to spend some serious quality time with the Lord after our conversion. Have you had both a Damascus Road and an Arabian retreat experience?